At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Love at First Sight still exists. It's available at your local shelter.
This June 7th to 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too.
Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more and see full terms and conditions.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Jared, are you nervous?
No.
You've met Rob before, right? Or something like that?
Hey, man.
How you doing, brother?
How are you?
I'm good. This is Dean and Kaylin.
Hey, Rob. Hello. Nice to meet you. Big fan.
I apologize. I'm just pulling it together. I am normally a person that wakes up at, like, you know, 8:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning. But last night we played in Birmingham, and I had a friend on my bus, like an old friend that I haven't seen in a very long time. And things got silly.
Oh, no.
You're burning the midnight oil.
Yeah, so I apologize, but it is good to see you.
Do not apologize. All right, so we're going to bring you into the podcast right now.
Help, we suck at being newlyweds.
With Dean Ungler.
Kaylin Miller-Keys.
And Jared Haven.
An iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, welcome back to Help, we suck at being newlyweds. Dean, Kaylin, myself here. And we have a very special guest. I mean, this man just really needs no introduction. If you know anything about me, you know I've been a big fan of this musician and his band and his solo career for a very long time. The man, the myth, the legend, who's currently on tour. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on here, Rob Thomas. Rob, how you doing, buddy?
Thank you, man. Dude, first off, it's very good to see you. You know I love you very much. I want to ask a question, though, and I apologize for my ignorance. You, Jared, do not suck at being a newlywed. You are killing it. You're crushing this. Do you guys also, is that the thing that you guys think you suck at being newlyweds? And are you newlyweds? I want to upend this whole thing right now. I want to upend this sham of a podcast right now.
Who's interviewing who here? We're not married yet, but we know the second we get married, we're going to be really sucky at it. So we're just kind of getting ahead of the ball here.
Are you guys getting married?
Yeah, we're getting married in September.
Wow. The fact that you're not in the same room is not great.
It's not. It's not a good sign.
Yeah, we were yesterday. I'm climbing all the mountains in Colorado. I just got off of one. I'm in the back of my truck. So that's kind of why, you know, you were apologizing for it.
First off, that is very cool. I think right off the bat, I think it's very cool that Kaylin is cool with the fact that they, you know, letting you do your thing and what you need to do. That's important. That's a very cool thing. So I guess we solved all the problems. I'll see you guys later. Bye.
Yeah.
Well, no, so we've established Jared and Ashley don't suck at being newlyweds. Kaylin doesn't suck. So I guess I really am just shouldering the load of sucking for this entire podcast, basically.
Yeah, listen, I hate to tell you this, but the one thing that's great about any relationship is you have to establish that one of you sucks, and it's going to be like, it's me. I know it's me. So that's fine. You know, it's not my wife. My wife is awesome. It's me. I'm the problem.
Yeah. Well, if Rob Thomas is saying that, man, none of us have a chance, I feel like.
That's what I tell Ashley all the time. I'm just a building with construction around it, really. I'm a working... I'm that road that we always drive past that is always getting work done and just never finished.
Yeah, my wife is kind of not loving hearing I'm a work in progress anymore because she's like, I've been with you for 25 years. How long is that? How long is that construction happening? And I was like, oh, I forgot to tell you. It's forever. It's going to happen forever. Yeah.
It's not going to stop.
But that's good. I think... Not necessarily a bad thing. Wait, can you guys share how you guys know each other? Because you guys have met each other before this podcast, of course.
Yeah. So Rob got dragged into Bachelor nation somehow. So I remember it was my second season of Paradise, and there was a show called After Paradise. Dean, I don't know if you ever got to do After Paradise or if it got canceled when your season aired, but it was like a recap show. So we flew out to LA and the producer came in and gave me a run of the show, and they're like, hey, listen, we put together this like 15-second montage and we're going to make a joke out of it of how you're leaving Paradise single, but you actually found love. And it's going to be you just like talking about Rob Thomas. And I said, what the f*** did you just say to me? And she goes, yeah, it's going to be super fun and kitschy. It's going to be great. And I'm like, guys, please don't do this to me. Cause it's just, and then it aired and it was like me saying Rob's name over and over and over again. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then 2 days later, I'll never forget this moment. I was in a hotel room and I looked and I got tagged on an Access Hollywood article, and it said Rob Thomas responds to his Bachelor in Paradise obsessed fan Jared, and I'm like, you got it.
That's when I put out the restraining order. I was like,
this guy. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. But then Rob's such a good sport about it, to the point, dude, where when Ashley and I got engaged, you sent a video congratulating us. Chris Harrison pulls me to the side. It was like, hey, we have this video for you. And then he played it. It's you, Rob, congratulating Ashley and I. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
It's funny, man. You guys made me rethink what I thought my idea of this whole Bachelor thing was, in the sense that, you know, you and Ashley are 1,000% this real, very real couple. That I, you know, and when I saw you guys and I see you guys together and I saw you, like, I was just like, that's all I knew was you guys. I knew you because of this show, but you guys were this very real connection. Like it was, you know what I mean? Like it was sweet. And she's obviously just awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
No construction around her.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's not like us. She's not one of us. It just retrained my whole brain to think about, oh, you know, everybody's going through their own thing and they find it in their own way.
Rob, yeah. did you ever hear about heard about it, sure, but did you ever like watch it or anything like that? Or was this like your first experience
I don't mean to sound weird when I say it, but like I don't like have any reality TV in my thing. Now, that's not to say I don't watch trash TV. I watch a lot of trash. I mean, I watch a lot of really horrible things. You know what I mean? Like, I watch too much TV to begin with. I just never got into anything reality. Like, the closest thing was I got into, like, during the pandemic, I got a little too into Love It or List It.
That's a great show.
You know what I mean? And I'm alone and I'm talking to the TV and I'm going like, are you going to buy it or are you going to sell it? Buy it. Oh,
we're big HGTV people. We're big, not Love It or List It, but also, oh my God, what the hell am I? House Hunters.
Who's the new power couple from HGTV? Like the,
Magnolia Network.
Yes.
What?
Oh my God. I would marry both of them.
Chip and Joanna. Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. I want Chip to fix my house and I want Joanna to fix me.
I know, they are killing it. I like walk into Target and they're just pictures are everywhere. So Rob, this is like, I do want to obviously talk about the brand new album, Where the Light Goes.
I want to talk about your jawline. How do you keep that going, man? Look at you.
Dude, he's got Ashley, the best jawline.
She chisels it every night. It's extensive work, but it's well worth it. And we'll get working on Dawson in no time. But dude, so yeah, obviously the new album, Where the Light Goes, that you're on tour right now for with the hit single, Wild Dogs Running in a Slow Dream. So like, I got to ask you, because tour, I don't know. It's obviously incredible. You get this incredible job. You get to go on tour and sing all these songs that you've written and like have met so much to people. But how do you survive a tour? Because it is a grind.
It is, but to be fair, I think, you know, there's an entire, like, we have 9 buses, 7 semis, and 52 people that travel, not including all the local crew every time you get to somewhere. So it is a mountain of people that are there just to make sure that every night these 2 hours get off the ground and work, right? So all I have to do is be capable. All I have to do is show up and sing for those 2 hours and like whatever meet and greets, right? It's not, it's not that big of a deal when you think about the fact that I'm like a baby. Everybody just takes care of me. I'm like the quarterback. Everybody just makes sure that I don't get sick. I don't go down. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm protected. And it's something that I've done for the last 30 years. So just like, you know, you guys know, like it's a muscle that I've worked for so long that it's just, you know, the only thing was during the pandemic, there was that 3-year period where right before we finally pulled the trigger and went out, I almost felt like I was just a 51-year-old guy that lived in Westchester, right? Like I just had my cardigan and I was going to Whole Foods and having a good time. Yeah, and I was just like, for a second, the reality between like who I was and who I am, like last night when I'm on stage, mm-hmm. I didn't think it was going to happen again. Like that didn't make sense to me because you do put up, I think you guys understand this, like that when you work, you put on a persona to some degree, even if your persona is yourself, it's an ultra hyper version of yourself, right? It's like me in ultra color. So like when I get on stage, I'm a little bit taller than I actually am in real life. I'm a little bit cooler than I actually am in real life. But you know what I mean? And you buy into it for those 2 hours. And then, so I missed that for a minute and I thought that wasn't going to happen. So I did realize that it was a little more than just walking on stage. You know, there's a thing that kind of has to happen. I think for anybody that does anything in public, you have to feel a little bit, you have to find something about yourself that you feel good about that you don't feel good about all the time to be able to go out in public and feel comfortable with that. And you guys live in public, so you understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I suppose. I've got a question for you. So all we have to do is go out and be ourselves. I was going to ask you, you're basically being yourself too, right? You're singing the songs that you, you know, put together and are performing now for a bunch of people. And then the meet and greets, all you're doing is being yourself. And so it must be, you know, it's a grind, but all you're doing is being yourself, right?
No, I think I'm more myself when I'm writing a song, but performing a song in front of 15,000 people is a different version of myself. And it's not the person that I am like right now. You know, like the person that I am right now doesn't think that I'm cool enough to stand in front of 15,000 people. Like there's a weird thing I think about writing music and performing especially is that you have to like have no narcissism when you write a song. But then when you perform a song and put out a record and do those things, you have to have at least a little bit because you have to think that what you just did is so important that other people need to hear it. Right? Like that's crazy to think that I just did something and now I want to push it on people. I want people to have to hear this because I think it's, you know what I mean? Like, so there's a little bit, you have to have a little bit of narcissism but then you have to take it away. Like when when people don't like it, you know what I mean? I mean, like, cause if you do well enough to be somebody's favorite band, then you're also doing well enough to be somebody's least favorite band. And that's something you have to deal with and learn to kind of like, you know, ingest.
Has there ever been a song that you wrote that either took off and you were like, wow, I did not expect people to connect with this as much as I thought. And then conversely, was there ever a song that you wrote and you're like, this thing is gonna crush and people just didn't connect with it as well?
Oh, okay. The second one happens more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. This guy who's like Grammy Award winning, one of the greatest singer songwriters of all time. No. Yeah, nobody likes my songs.
Dude, I mean, 30 years, you know, 5 solo records, 6 matchmakers, like there's a lot of turds in there, man. I mean, you can't just, you know, because you write in the moment things that you think are okay. Like we have songs that we still joke about to this day, like Matchbox, and we have like a song called Like Sugar. I'm like, how did I write that song? It's a horrible, horrible song. We'll never play it live. We'll never talk about it. Like it's it's like we had an ugly child that we just don't talk about.
It's really not a bad song, but go on.
One of the things I remember when we put out our third record, More Than You Think You Are, Disease was the first single. Mm-hmm. And we lived in the world, which is so different than today, but we were in the studio finishing the record, listening to the song on the radio. Like we had put it out to radio and like we kind of put ourselves to task. So like we put it out, radio started playing it because we still had this momentum back then when it wasn't this colander of information that's happening now. It was like a siphon. Like you could take a song, bring it to a radio station and they could be the first radio station to play it. You know what I mean? Like it was in that kind of a time. It didn't do as what we thought it was going to do, but you take that plus longevity, and then like 20 something years later, we play Disease and it comes off like a hit, right? Just because we have a group of initiated fans that have been with us and playing along with the home game for a long time. And so like every time now they come and we all remember it like, oh, that was a giant hit. But in truth, at the time, the label was just like, ooh, you know, biting their nails. Like, this is a problem. Like, I think
so crazy.
There's something to be said about longevity. Like if you stick around, if you just keep nailing it long enough, right? You know, that has its own kind of reward, I think.
So we're a dating podcast, obviously. So we have to talk.
Let's talk about relationships. I thought we were going to talk about relationships here.
Well, of course, but you know me, I have to talk about music for a little while.
Let's talk about Dean. Let's just be all about Dean. Dean, what's up?
Oh, man? Yeah.
Well, these two are getting married very soon, September. That's the whole newlywed spin on this thing. So Dean is currently, his thing is that he wants to climb, he's from Denver, and he wants to climb 50 mountains before the wedding. I forgot. I'm sorry. Go, you just
I'm
say
not
it.
From Denver, from Basalt. There's 58 mountains over 14,000 feet, and I want to climb all of them before my wedding at like a real rite of passage.
First of all, I think it's awesome. Like, and Kaylin, I think when you marry someone, you marry all of them, right?
Yeah.
Like my wife married me, but she also married the road. You know, she married that I was, she married my absence to some degree. You know, she knew, like when she knew that there was certain things that like I give everything when I'm here, but then if I'm not here, everything goes to her, right? Mm-hmm. We had that rule that the second that we met, my thing was this is my baggage, and I give this to my baggage, and then I promise you everything else is you. I give everything else to you, but this came with me, right? So like I appreciate that, and I appreciate you, Kaylin, like that you appreciate that, you know, because if you took that part away from him, he wouldn't be the guy that you want to marry.
Right.
True. How do you feel about that, Kaylin? Let's hear your thoughts on that.
No, I mean, I'm thinking about Rob's wife. She probably has to be pretty independent because I feel like we spend a lot of time together, but also a lot of time apart. And I think it's healthy for our relationship. I don't know if it's. I mean, you guys have been married for 20 years, so it sounds like you've got a healthy thing going.
Everybody, hold on.
I think Rob froze, but I can still hear him.
Yeah, we can still hear, buddy.
Yeah, hold on, guys. I'm sorry, you guys froze up on me, and I really, if you don't mind, Kaylin, could you repeat that for me, just because I wanted to hear what you had to say about it because I missed it.
Yeah, I was just saying your wife probably has to be pretty independent to live this life, because I feel like we have something a little similar where we do spend a lot of time apart, but also a lot of time together. And it's a healthy thing. Like at least for us, I feel like you can find a good balance in it.
Yeah. I don't think, you know, I think it's one of those like cliches, but it's not about quantity, right? It's about the quality of the time. Like when my wife and I are together, we're together. I mean, to be fair, we also, you know, I think one time in 25 years, we've spent more than 2 weeks apart. Otherwise we have a 2 week rule, which seems to be a kind of a standard across the board of people that I know is like two weeks is when the rivets start to fall out and it starts to shake and it starts to want to break. Right. Like just because you need a little bit of FaceTime, but we can do 2 weeks and then a couple days and then 2 weeks if we had to, you know, like when I'm, you know, but I do think, you know, again, you need to put the relationship doesn't work if you don't put a hell of amount of effort into it. Period. But if you forget to put the individual effort, then the ingredients that made each other really want to be together, that doesn't exist anymore either. And so, you know, it's a balance. And the thing about it, I'll tell you from this side of it, from 25 years in, is that balance doesn't change because you grow and evolve. You're never not becoming, right? So like, when you guys are going to be in your 50s and your 60s, you're still going to be becoming. You're going to be becoming whatever it is you were supposed to become at that point in your life. And now you're just doing it together. So, you know, you're still working that balance of allowing each other to become who you're supposed to be while you're trying to figure out who you are as a unit. You know?
I love this guy. Makes a lot of sense.
The unit is the best thing. Like, I can't imagine right now me being 51 years old and having a world that Maudie's not in it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's so weird, like, to think about, because it's such a part of who I am. But at the same time, like, I went home the other day for 2 days, dropped, because she was on the road with me for like a month. And we, you know, we had 2 days off. So I took Maudie home, got her and Ollie kind of settled in. We had to take Ollie to the vet. And we, you know, it was just, I went straight from like rock star to like daddy husband life, you know. And but then Maddie, like, her thing was just like, you know what, I want you to go out, like, I want you to go now and have a couple weeks of just doing you on the road without this, like, I want you to just go do that, you know.
Because Rob, I got a question for you. Can I ask you a question? Yeah. hopefully this gets through with my connection. So there's this great John Mulaney bit where he's talking about Mick Jagger and about how these mega stars.
No!
Yes, you've seen it. Okay, great. So for the listeners, he's basically saying how people like Mick Jagger go through their life never hearing the word no because they're such mega stars. How is that for you? Because, like, you know, you've been married for 25 years, but you're this huge star that I don't know exactly, but, like, you probably don't hear the word no very often, right?
That's not true at all. We have a joke in our household. There's the one in the 2%. So, like, I got into a big fight with my label one time, and I was like, they didn't want to do something. They didn't want to pay for something. And I was like, listen, there are probably 2% of the people in the world that have ever been where I've been over the last 20 something years. You know, like, I went off in this rant about the 2%. And my buddy at the time, who's since passed, he said, why 2%? Why didn't you just go for the one? Like, and I said, well, because the 1% is like Mick Jagger, you know, like Taylor Swift. You know, these are the 1% of people, like, because they live a life that I can't imagine. You know, like, I spent like 3 days with Mick Jagger. I thought I was famous, and then I was like, oh no, I have no idea. You think you're famous because you can call into a really hot club and get let into the club. You're famous when you just show up to the club and they go, oh my God, it's your club now, Mr. Jagger. Like, that. Yeah. So, like, I live in a world where it turns on and it turns off. Like, I live in a world where I'm the kind of famous where I walk down my grocery store aisle, which Mick Jagger doesn't do. And I walk down my grocery store aisle and, like, my song's playing on the, like, on the speaker. And, like, one of my neighbors goes by me and goes, ah, ah. Like, I am a successful musician, but I'm not a celebrity or a famous. I don't feel, I hate the word famous. I've been working on that with my therapist, like, trying to describe, like, something when in a situation but not using the word famous. I was like, you know, like, I was talking like my relationship with my father, and I'm like, you know, before I was. And she goes, say famous. It's like, no.
Yeah, before I did that thing and, you know, just starts with an F, rhymes with Amos. You know, so Rob, I know you got to get going. You're super busy. I do wanted to say that you gave me and Ashley one of the best piece of relationship advice that you probably would never remember, but it was one of the first times that we ever talked. And you said, I think you probably saw, like, just the, you know, it was probably like we talked about earlier. You knew that we were part of this bachelor world. It's like, all right, is this a real relationship? And I'm sure you saw us and, like, kind of the dynamic that Ashley and I have. And I remember you said, like, don't ever forget, whoever you marry is going to be the person that you have a conversation with every day for the rest of your life. So just make sure that you like them and that this person is your friend. And I've always thought about that ever since, because Ashley's someone that I have a conversation with every single day of my life, and it never gets old.
Oh,
sweet.
Yeah, I mean, my wife is my best friend, bar none. Like, you know, it goes my wife and then Paul, you know, from Matchbox, you know, like, and everything else is such a far second that, you know, I could finish the race and have a cup of coffee before they even showed up past the finish line. Like we, her and I are, you know, she's my ride or die. Forever. And that's 25 years, man. That's a lot of water under a lot of bridges. There's a lot of things, you know, that'll happen. There's a lot of things that are going to come and go. There's going to be a lot of fights. There's going to be some fights that you're going to have. They're going to be longer than some of your friends' relationships. but you know, but you weather through them, and then you're stronger on the other side of all of them. So I can't say more to be an advocate of marriage and long term. Like, I just think it's so made me who I am. And I think you guys are doing it really right, Dean. I think, you know, the fact that you know you're calling us from your van right now, and you have these goals that you wanted to set out, and the fact that Kaylin's okay with those goals and wants to help you achieve those goals, that's step one, honestly. You know, because it could be like, you know, you could go in this world, this weird nation where like Kaylin's like, oh no, not now. You're with me. We're gonna do this. We're da da, right? And then to some degree, some people would look at it and be like, oh yeah, that's you know what, you did that, you tamed that down and you did that for her. But long-term relationship, 30-year relationship, it's like, yeah, no, let's let Dean do that, because he needs to do that. And that's really what Kaylin likes about Dean, is that he's a guy that wants to be in a van right now, you know, climbing mountains, which first off, I can't understand at all. I am going out today for the first time in my entire life. When I get off these interviews, I'm doing like 2 hours of interviews. I have a day off in Texas, and I'm going to go to a driving range for the first time in my entire life.
No.
Oh, wow.
Be careful. You might fall in love with the sport. I'm telling you, it gets all of us.
I love any opportunity to suck at something.
Hey, suck at being a newlywed. I guess you're not a newlywed.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. No, I appreciate that. I feel like Kaylin and I both kind of say the same thing about that too. You know, we want to give each other space to be themselves, so that way when we come back together, we can feel like the fullest version of ourselves. I feel like we've kind of set that precedent pretty early on, and we've done a pretty good job of keeping up with it. The only thing I was worried about this specific mission that I'm on right now is it's like right before the wedding. And Kaylin, I'm so blessed to be with you, obviously, because, you know, with everything that's kind of looming in a couple months, it's a big ask of me to take off for a little bit, but I appreciate it.
I just a little word of advice. Don't use words like looming.
Looming is not a good word. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. My bad. My bad. Looming doesn't have like a negative connotation on it just for the word looming, but I see what you're saying. And I retract my statement. It's not looming. It's, I'm waiting with anticipation for it.
Yeah. Looming's definitely negative, bro. Rob, thank you so much for joining us. You're the man. Everyone obviously is already going to listen to your album. Go see them on tour right now, Matchbox 20. Rob, I'll see you in a couple months when you come to the East Coast.
Okay, wait, I'm gonna see you in Mass.
In Mass, yeah. We're going to go to the Mansfield show.
Right. Yeah, I can't wait, man.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day, man. Really appreciate it. Rob, you're the man.
Dude, love you guys. Be well.
Bye, buddy. Thank you.
Team, be careful.
Thank you so much for being here. Take care. Great to meet you.
True love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another and every time after that. It's taking long walks together in the summer, gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and, well, watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
The Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight. And honestly, the answer is yes.
Ashley adopted Lois, and I didn't know until I actually picked her up and saw her with my own eyes that we were taking this dog home. But I took one look at Lois, and my life has never been the same, and I love her so much, and I'm very grateful for that moment that Ashley decided to adopt Lois. So it really was love at first sight for me.
Adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime of meaningful connections. A Pedigree loyalty survey revealed that 95% of dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than expected. And another Pedigree loyalty survey revealed 90% of first-time dog owners report that having a dog improved at least one relationship in their lives.
We have adopted two dogs. First was Pappy, and the second was Alistair. And I got to tell you, I didn't know I could love such a little creature so much. With Pappy, he just stole our hearts right away. He was so attached to us. And even with Alistair, we got him. And we fostered at first and then decided to adopt not long after that.
Just a few days after.
They bring so much light into our lives. After we lost Pappy, Kaylin and I agreed to maybe take a couple months off from having a dog in our lives. And not even a week later, we couldn't stand it anymore. There's just so much light that coming home to a dog brings into our lives. And whenever we're on a trip, all we can ever think about is coming back home and seeing Alistair. So I love adoption. I think adopting dogs is the way to go. They are so grateful for it. They definitely love you harder because they know what you took them from and the great life that you're giving them. Real love can exist between pet and pet parent. Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes, and we can attest that love at first sight is closer than you think. It's available at your local dog shelter.
Find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive June 7th to 9th, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black Lead products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black Lead brand, we make room for another Black Lead brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
You know, I've never really listened to Rob Thomas's music before, but I think I just fell in love with that man. He's so cool.
I feel like he understands you. And I could listen to him talk for forever.
He was so much knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, and knowledgeable.
Oh, I am so glad that because I've said this for so long, like one of the reasons why I'm such a fan of like whoever I'm a fan of, whether it be fucking Brady or, you know, whatever, Rob Thomas, it's because not only do I listen to their music, but I kind of like just listen to interviews or when I see them live, I hear them talk and on their perspective on life and advice they give. And over the years, I'm like, this guy's he's so well-spoken and has so much interesting perspectives on relationships and jobs and just life in general that I was so happy when he was talking. I could tell that you two were so engaged and it made me really happy because I was like, they see what I see, which makes me happy.
Right. It's such a change from how we act when you're talking.
Obviously, which is like on your phone and like,
I'm just kidding.
It's quite all right.
I agree. I've never judged you for your Rob Thomas obsession. I've always admired you for, like I've said, for being able to like things so much. I wish I could do these things. I see it now. I totally get it. I am obsessed. I love Rob Thomas.
And you know what? You're going to listen to his music differently now. And it's going to have like a different effect on you, especially knowing that like the cool part about his music is that he writes and he sings every song. So like every song that he has written is meaningful to him. Like it tells a story. Like 3 a.m., one of his biggest hits, is a story about how he coped through the time of when his mom actually became an alcoholic. And that's what like the genesis of that song was. And then like, you know, there's just all these different songs that I go on and on about like stories that involve his life or his perspective on things. And so like now when you listen to his songs, I feel like you'll hit differently now that you've been able to meet him in person or over Zoom.
I agree. I'll re-binge some of his music, but I've got a question. So I was a little, I misunderstood your guys' like relationship. I know that obviously everything that happened with Paradise, I remember that video and I remember seeing your reaction. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever met and hung out in person?
Yes. So then I was at, so then there was an after the Bachelor thing, and I met him beforehand just as a fan. I went to a meet and greet once, but after Bachelor happened and the video, and then he became aware of mine and Ashley's existence, there was an iHeart concert where he was releasing a new album. It's just 2019, I guess, 2018. And it was a small venue. It was like 200 people in this auditorium. And because it was iHeart, they had Ashley and I in the front row. And when I tell you this thing was like an auditorium, we were like 2 feet from the stage and there's only 200 people in this room, like, oh, this is weird. Like, he's definitely going to see us sitting here and know exactly who we are. Be like, oh, these are the friggin' people from Bachelor that I sent a congratulations engagement video to. So it was cool. So then he saw us. He goes, hey, what's up, man? And like, oh, good to see you, blah, 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 blah. And then he invited us backstage after the show, which was really nice. And we talked for like 20 minutes. And I think that's when we started bonding, because then, you know, I'd like to think that Ashley and I are pretty down to earth. So we were just hanging out and talking. I had a beer with him, which was a lot of fun. And then we exchanged phone numbers. And then I saw him. We went to a concert in Massachusetts later that year, and he invited us backstage before the show, and we just got to hang out for a while. It was actually really funny because I guess it was 2019 because Brady was still on the Patriots. Julian Edelman is a big Matchbox 20 fan. He's actually posted about Matchbox 20 on his Instagram. And so I was talking to Rob before the show, and then he goes, oh yeah, like I think Julian Edelman and Tom Brady were supposed to come. They were supposed to like be here. And I was like, what? I was like, bro, if I walked into a room and I saw Rob Thomas and Tom Brady standing
Tom
there,
Brady, yeah,
I would be like, I would shoot myself, because life would never get any better than that moment for me. So that's that was like funny. A really funny story. Yeah.
The only time I've ever met my favorite musician, his name is Slug. He's from Atmosphere. I was 19 years old and I was, I was 21 years old, actually. I was very drunk, very, very drunk. And it was at a small venue in Aspen, and I went up to him and I was like, I'm sure I just embarrassed the crap out of myself. And he like basically shrugged me off, and it was one of the worst experiences of my life, because I grew up idolizing this guy similar to you and Rob, but my experience having met him was not nearly as, you know, positive as yours was meeting Rob. And it was mostly me. Like, it was obviously my fault, but like, it still was a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah, it sucks, man. That's why they always say don't meet your heroes. But I've been so lucky to have such good interactions with the people that I've looked up to and been a fan of for so long that I'm always like, I don't know, I think you should meet him. But then there's other stories like yourself where you're like, I don't know if I should have, you know, kind of ruined the experience for
Yeah.
I bet sobriety plays into it too. You're probably mostly sober for your encounters.
Me?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, definitely. I'm not a nervous drinker. Like a lot of people, Ashley's like this too. She gets nervous before a big moment. She'd be like, I need a glass of wine, or I need like a shot or something. And I'm like, that's the last thing I want, because that doesn't take the edge off for me. It just makes me consciously now think that I'm going to start slurring my words, you know, or not speaking as elegantly as I want to. So, I've never really turned to that. I've been very lucky, knock on wood, but I know other people are, you know, it's much more of an issue. Not with Dean, obviously. This is way different.
Caitlin, who would you love to meet? Singer wise, is she? I guess she Hillary sings
Duff.
A little bit.
She's a singer,
dude. We gotta get Hillary Duff on this podcast.
It'll never happen. I know we've talked about it, but maybe one day I can meet her. At
we
least
just got, we just got Rob freaking Thomas on this podcast. Yeah. You're telling me we can't get Hillary Duff?
We can get. I feel like Hillary is on the same level as Rob.
I would say she's even a little step below. Discredit to Hillary Duff, love her, but Rob Thomas. I mean, come on, what a dreamboat.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just like setting my expectations low, you know?
Especially because she's on How I Met Your Father, right?
Yeah, I feel like if iHeart could just bring her in, then there's a way that we can meet.
Yeah, especially if she's looking for... We're going to make this happen. We're putting it out in the universe right now, especially if they have a new season of How I Met Your Father. Like, come on, she's got
to
do
it. But it would have to be in person. I don't want to do a Zoom.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
If I zoomed Hillary Duff, I'd be like... Ugh.
We got to get Hillary Duff. We got to get John Craigie. And then maybe we can get Slug on here at some point, too.
Slug.
Also, beggars can't be choosers. So if Hillary Duff can't do a Zoom, we're doing the Zoom.
Yeah, that's true. Right. That's true.
That's a good point. Jared, I have a question for you. Have you been doing something different with your teeth? They are looking phenomenal.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Well, that's very sweet. I'm always subconscious about my teeth because I feel like they're white. But I mean, dude, you guys just have such pearly whites. It's crazy. Like, look at your, I'm not trying to blow your head up here, but like between you and Kaylin, it's like every day I come to this podcast, I'm like, you know what it is? I think it's every time I shave, I feel like my teeth look a little bit wider. Why that is, I have no idea.
Well, whatever you're doing, it's working. And my teeth are my biggest insecurity as well.
Which blows my mind.
Yeah. polished up for the podcast. Rob was on here. You know, I got to make sure I look good.
Yeah, I've been staring at him the entire episode. So congrats to you. Keep doing whatever you're doing.
Well, quick update before we go. So you are obviously in Colorado, right?
Yes, sir.
So how many mountains do you have?
Well, I climbed two this morning. So not a big deal. Climbed two this morning. I've got... I've got 48 more to go.
48 more to go?
48 more to go. But this podcast doesn't air until July 9th. So by that point, I should have done... By July 9th, when this podcast airs, I should have 38 more to go. So I'm chipping away.
All right. Yeah, that's
not bad. That's not a lot. Wait, you have 41 now and you'll have 38 by July 9th?
I have 48 to go now. I've done 10.
Oh, okay.
And I plan on doing at least 10 more before I go back to Las Vegas July 10th.
And you just did one this morning at 4 a.m.?
I did two this morning, actually. Thank you very much.
Two. And you fell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was skiing down and I was like skiing pretty good. And the snow's really slushy right now. And I was like, ooh, I am freaking on fire right now. And so I tried to do something I normally wouldn't do, and I took a big old spill. And I was wearing shorts because it's springtime, and the snow gets like really like corny, as they call it, and just like thrashes your skin. So it like wasn't a bad fall at all, but my leg dragged on the corn snow, and it just kind of thrashed my leg a little bit. But
you wore shorts while skiing?
Well, because I was like hiking in shorts because I overheat really easily, and then I'm not gonna like bring pants to ski down in. And it's like it was like 50 degrees. It wasn't cold, but. But I'm fine. Thank you guys so much for worrying about me. I really appreciate it. It was more of like a, hey, check, like, you know, I fell and I wasn't hurt at all. And then I looked at my leg. I was like, oh, I'm bleeding. That's awesome. I love bleeding. Like, if you can get hurt and not feel hurt, but like looks like it hurts a little bit, there's nothing better in the world than that, in my opinion.
What? Yeah. I love bleeding. Interesting.
No. Don't take me out of context. I'm saying when something looks like it hurts to other people, but it doesn't hurt to you, like you don't feel the pain because it's whatever, like a surface wound or something. But other people are like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And you're like totally fine. You're like, yeah, I'm fine. What do you mean? I ain't no wuss.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is not as cool because I'm about to reference co-ed softball. But whenever I play softball and I like slide and I get like a little elbow scratch or yeah. Like my knee's bleeding.
No, the exact same thing.
And they're like, oh, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, oh, yeah. Obviously, I have the highest pain tolerance of anyone here.
Yeah. You're like, whatever, I'll do anything for the team. And they're like, whoa, that Jared guy. God, I need him on my team every year.
Dude, it's funny. Anytime I get into an argument, which doesn't happen often, but sometimes like I get a little angry and then I'll just yell something. And I'm like, I could definitely tell the other teams, like, I think that bachelor kid just yelled at me.
I mean, hey, softball, man. No holding back.
Yeah, apparently.
True love is always being excited from the first moment you see one another and every time after that. It's taking long walks together in the summer, gazing longingly into each other's eyes, and, well, watching their tail wag when they chase a squirrel in the yard.
The Pedigree brand asked about believing in love at first sight. And honestly, the answer is yes.
Ashley adopted Lois, and I didn't know until I actually picked her up and saw her with my own eyes that we were taking this dog home. But I took one look at Lois, and my life has never been the same, and I love her so much, and I'm very grateful for that moment that Ashley decided to adopt Lois. So it really was love at first sight for me.
Adopting a dog can lead to a lifetime of meaningful connections. A Pedigree loyalty survey revealed that 95% of dog owners say that the bond they have with their dogs is closer than expected, and another Pedigree loyalty survey revealed 90% of first-time dog owners report that having a dog improved at least one relationship in their lives.
We have adopted two dogs. First was Pappy, and the second was Alistair, and I gotta tell you, I didn't know I could love such a little creature so much. With Pappy, he just stole our hearts right away. He was so attached to us, and even with Alistair, we got him and we fostered at first and then decided to adopt not long after that.
Just a few days after.
They bring so much light into our lives. After we lost Pappy, Kaylin and I agreed to maybe take a couple months off from having a dog in our lives. And not even a week later, we couldn't stand it anymore. There's just so much light that coming home to a dog brings into our lives. And whenever we're on a trip, all we can ever think about is coming back home and seeing Alistair. So I love adoption. I think adopting dogs is the way to go. They are so grateful for it. They definitely love you harder because they know what you took them from and the great life that you're giving them. Real love can exist between pet and pet parent. Pedigree is committed to helping more dogs find loving homes, and we can attest that love at first sight is closer than you think. It's available at your local dog shelter.
Find love at first sight with the Pedigree Adoption Drive June 7th to 9th, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
At Walmart, there's a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. We encourage you to show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long. There is power in every purchase.
Every time we purchase from a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
Some amazing Black-owned businesses that are available at Walmart include The Lip Bar, Zach and Zoe Honey, Partake Cookies. The list goes on and on. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Caitlin, what do you got for us? We just told you guys our stories, or your stories.
Well, I wanted to talk about Alex Earle and Sophia Culpo, that I'm sure you guys have no idea what's going on between them.
I know something's going on with Braxton Berrios.
Braxton, yeah. So Braxton dated Sophia Culpo, Olivia Culpo's sister, for 2 years. They broke up, and now Braxton is dating Alex Earle, who's like the biggest girl on TikTok, like the it girl right now. And there's like all these rumors. Maybe there was overlap. Who knows if there was? And now Sophia Culpo is making TikToks, and she's like, let me know when the love bombing stops.
What does love bombing mean?
Love bombing's kind of like a narcissistic, it's like tied with narcissism, I guess. But love bombing is just like, just lots of love. And then,
oh, so she's saying, let me know when the love bombing between Berrios and this new girl is over.
Yeah. And it's just like a lot of drama. And it's like being fueled by Sophia doing TikToks. Like, people already know this relationship was super public. Love bombing is an attempt to influence a person by demonstrations of attention and affection. But yeah, I think in Sophia's case, like, this has to suck so much. You're dating this guy for 2 years. You break up. Let's say a month later, a couple weeks later, he starts dating like the biggest girl. It sucks. But I feel like the way to win in this situation is just to like stay silent, you know? And then she came out recently and was like, he cheated on me. Braxton came out, I think like yesterday or 2 days ago. He's like, I never cheated. So it's just like, there's a way to win in this situation, and I don't think Sophia's doing it right. But also, like, if that were me, I would feel like absolute crap. Like, that sucks.
I don't understand the appeal of Braxton Berrios. He's like a fourth string wide receiver on some team that I've probably.
Well, he's handsome.
Is he good looking? Yeah. Is he? Yeah, okay, yeah. Gotcha. Is he still in the NFL?
Yeah, I'm sure. So. He was on the Jets last year. So the reason I know about this is because so the social media coordinator for Audrey's follows Braxton Berrios on the Audrey's account. So I was on the Audrey's account going through Instagram stories, and then Berrios has popped up, and he started the video saying something about like, I didn't want to say something, but now I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, now I have no idea what he's referencing, but I have to watch this video now just to see what the hell he's about to say. And then he talked about like a relationship, and then I was like, I think he dated Sophia Culpo or is dating. And so then I looked it up and I was like, oh, okay, now I'm in the know. Because the cool thing is, Sophia Culpo comes into Audrey's every once in a while.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, because the Culpos are from Rhode Island. So she's been there a couple of times. She's very nice. But this, I mean, I haven't seen her since like last fall, I think.
Well, don't you guys know Olivia?
Yeah, so we've met Olivia a few times. Again, Rhode Island connection. She, one of my really good buddies, Jimmy. I don't know if you remember Jimmy from the Bachelor party, the Bachelor.
Oh, of course.
And so, his wife, Tori, Yeah, he's great. So his wife Tori grew up with Olivia, so they're really close.
Oh, wow, nice.
And, but yeah, so I do. You, all right, Caitlin, let me ask you this: do you think that it's Braxton? Do you think that Braxton started dating this girl too soon? Is that the issue, or do you think Sophia maybe should just stay more quiet, like you were referencing earlier?
I think like it's so hard because you don't know what has gone on behind closed doors. You don't know if this was like conversations happening for months of like about to break up. You don't know when they broke up. We don't even know if like cheating was involved. But I think regardless, like the best thing to do in this situation, Alex Earl has like 6 million followers. Everyone follows her. Everyone watches her videos. Like you're not really going to win in this situation, which sucks. But like the best thing to do is just stay silent and be the bigger person. And Hannah Berner posted a video on her Instagram about this. So I listened to their podcast, and Paige on their podcast was saying, we've both been that girl. We've been the girl that got dumped and then he jumps into a relationship right after, or mm-hmm. we've been the girl that like jumps into the relationship with a guy who just ended things. So it's like, we can't really hate either person here, you know?
Mm, yeah. It's easy when you're on one side to hate the other side, but like you said, yeah. You're sometimes on either side. It doesn't necessarily exclude you.
And it sucks. I would just like advise Sophia, like stay off of social media. You're going to see things that you don't want to see. It sucks. Like this is such a bad situation to be in because Alex is so popular right now, but you know, good riddance to him if he sucked.
And it's tough because I always relate this back to our Bachelor experience where I'm sure there's a lot of exes out there who would, does not want to watch anything that we're involved in terms totally. Of your relationship, my relationship with Ashley. So it's kind of like, I'm sorry, Sophia, you know, it's just like, that's the person he's dating and that's what she does for a job. Like that's kind of just the way life goes. Of course, like if he cheated, yeah. But so Sophia came out and said that he cheated.
I was watching videos on TikTok yesterday and yes, she came on and was like, he was at a bar or something and there a photo came out of him with another girl and then her sister called her the next day that he was with some other girl. So I guess that's where it started. But then Braxton, I also heard, said that didn't happen. So if he cheated, that sucks and that's awful. And just another reason to like, you know, be happy that it ended when it did.
Right. Good point. Good point. Out with the old, drop the dead weight. Get the hell out of here, Braxton.
Get rid of the anchor.
I'm sorry. I woke up at 4 a.m. today, so I'm a little sleepy. But that's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. And what stinks a little bit about recording these episodes so early, I like it. Don't get me wrong. I love seeing you guys as often as I can. By July 9th, when this airs, there could be incredible developments in the story that we are going to like sound like we have no idea what we're talking about.
That's true.
We're going to have to recap it. And then what we're going to have to do, because they're all East Coasters, is we're going to have a live reunion filmed at Audrey's between Sophia, Alex, and Braxton, all sitting down together. We'll get Andy Cohen to come in, host it. I'll have the fireplace on. We'll all have espresso martinis and really just get to the bottom of all this drama.
Yeah.
Sounds like a big win for you, but not so much a big win for the podcast.
It's a loss for everybody else, but a big win for Audrey's.
Also, like, Alex Earl's huge thing, like the reason people love her so much is like, yes, she's relatable and she like shows her lifestyle in a very authentic way, but also she's like known to be such a girl's girl. So it's got to suck for her when like her brand is being this girl's girl. And now, you know, Sophia's not really coming after her. She's more coming after Braxton, but it sucks.
It sucks because now she's being accused of being the other girl, which is like the complete opposite of what a girl's girl is supposed to do.
Yeah, I don't think Alex was the one that he cheated with. If he cheated, I don't know. There's a lot of like weird things going on in this story, but it's interesting. It's all over TikTok.
It's interesting. Vanderpump's over, so you got to find your next obsession.
I know. Exactly. Seriously, I'm like, what else am I supposed to like be invested in drama wise? You know?
Oh, I didn't expect you to respond that way. I thought you were going to tell me to kick rocks.
Well, Vanderpump consumed my life for so long, and now it's over.
Yeah. Any update on that? Like in terms of they're doing a next season or something?
They'll definitely do a next season. It's just who is going to do it. And also, I just wanted to say, I know Vanderpump's been over, but I didn't have a chance to bring this up post-reunion. I listened to a lot of podcasts and I gave Tom Schwartz a hard time, and I don't think he's a bad guy. I take everything I said back. I think he did a lot of bad things. I don't think he treated his wife well, but I think he's a good guy going through a lot of stuff.
Okay, so can we just, I know we want to wrap this podcast, but I just got excited for a second. Jared, I'm sure you don't remember this. Listeners, maybe you remember this. When we were talking about this, we were talking about Kaylin and I being at a party together, and I was like drunk and trying to like stir the pot. But I was talking about how I had liked Schwartz and how I thought was like a decent looking guy.
That's one thing you said, but you said something worse. So that's one thing.
Yeah, we're referencing this conversation again that you guys didn't even want to bring up at the time. And said you said that Dean said something so bad we couldn't talk about it on the podcast.
And it was me saying I think Tom Schwartz is like a hot, decent guy. And Kaylin was like, no, you can't say
it
that
wasn't.
Because
I can say it now.
No, it's fine.
Maybe you want to say, okay. Going.
Wait, now do you think it's that bad where we really can't say this thing?
No.
For the listeners out there, I have no idea what the hell they're talking about.
Was it me saying how the girl came across in such a negative light?
Yeah, kind of. He just thought that Ariana kind of sucked too, is what he said. And at the time,
so big suck.
And at the time, everyone was like really rallying behind Ariana, as they should, and people still are. But people's eyes have been opened to like post reunion. They were so brutal to Raquel. And yes, Raquel deserves scrutiny and deserves to like own up to what she did. But just to like call her the C word and just like say the horrific things that they said to her, I feel like now you can say like what you were thinking, I guess. I don't know. I just know the Bravo people are very passionate and very mean. So I'm trying to tread lightly.
Oh, I think Raquel, like you said, deserving of a lot of criticism, but she composed herself really well in the reunion. Ariana composed herself really poorly in the reunion. And like you said, similar to this Sofia Culpo, Alex Earl thing, like, yeah, it's different, I guess, because of the situation. But the way that Ariana was coming after Raquel really just, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. She was just being really mean.
To say I wish the worst thing that could ever happen to a human happened to you is just
crazy.
That's
too much.
That's too much.
It's too much. And you know she's getting gassed up by everyone, so she's like going further and further and further with it. So totally. I don't think she's kind of getting lost in the sauce a little bit with all that. But I couldn't stand her. And you know, I know she's the victim in the situation. And I know this is kind of old news at this point, so why are we still talking about it? But I know she was the victim in the situation, so of course you have to extend a lot of empathy to her for that. But because all I can ever do in that situation is like try to put myself in that situation. Like if you did something like that and I was in Ariana's shoes, I couldn't in a million years imagine saying half of the stuff that she said. Like so because I can't relate to saying what she said, then I just don't connect with that at all. And I just kind of, you know, lose respect for that, I guess. So that's where I'm coming from, I guess, with that situation. So.
And how this all started. Tom Schwartz is a good guy, we think. And someone I think you'd be friends with. That's how we started.
You keep saying that. Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm a pretty tough guy to get along with, but but Jared, I like you a lot. Kaylin, I love you a lot. Rob Thomas, I freaking love you a lot too. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Help We Suck at Being Newlyweds. Is there anything else we want to touch on before we say goodbye?
I'll do it.
Oh, I hope you guys had a great 4th of July.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Happy belated 4th, everyone.
Happy belated 4th. I can't wait to see. Oh, it's like we're time travelers, if you think about it. We're kind of traveling through time, space-time continuum. It's pre-July 4th, but now it's actually post-July 4th. Like, what's going on?
I know. Maybe we'll enter a multiverse and meet variants of ourselves.
Oh, man. So, what a time to be alive. Anyways, I love you guys. I'm going to say goodbye right now. Goodbye. Hopefully we suck a little bit less.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Help We Suck at Being Newlyweds.
And email us at newlyweds@iheartradio.com.
Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. We'll see you next time.
It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock.
On Thursday, February 29th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., you can celebrate an extra day of Black History Month with Walmart. This event is free and open to the public at 2 locations, Flatiron Plaza in New York City and Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles.
With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's the perfect time to try, like, and share Black Lead products.
It's free, it's for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black Lead products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart.
Trust, you don't want to miss it.
Love at First Sight still exists. It's available at your local shelter.
This June 7th to 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too.
Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more and see full terms and conditions.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.